What is aquaponics, and how hot is a greenhouse during a heat wave? Last week, I defied all reason and visited the Collard City Growers greenhouse to learn more about this alternative method of growing plants and vegetables. I'm Dave Pablo, and I'm here to interview Chris Scully, who is a sometime engineer over at the studio, sometime co-host, and full-time regular engineer, correct?
Yep.
So but right now we're in Collard City Growers.
We are currently in the Hoop House. That is a project that I started and worked with some people in the neighborhood and various people associated with the sanctuary to build over the course of about 3 years. And it has in it a aquaponics system. And what an aquaponics system is a hydroponic system that instead of using petrochemicals as fertilizer, relies on the in situ nitrification system of bacteria and fish to produce a water-soluble fertilizer that plants can grow from.
All right, so first of all, how hot is it in here? Do we have a temperature?
We don't have a temperature at the moment. But it's really, really hot in here. And this is what happens when you have a hoop house that is roasting in the sun during a heat wave. So in this hoop house, we grow a whole bunch of different starts for plants, both destined for the garden as well as a couple other farms and stuff. And we do those just in flats along the north side of the hoop house. And then we have a section right here in the center, which is currently decommissioned, but doesn't really do too well in the summer heat anyway. And this is what's called an NFT system. You can imagine a vinyl downspout put on its side with a bunch of holes every 6 inches and a little cup inside the hole. This is where we grow lettuce.
So I'm gonna interject on that. What it basically looks like is six rain gutters in a row, lying the length of the table with holes drilled every, let's say, 6 inches, and that's basically where the plants will grow. In this case, heads of lettuce, mm-hmm. which there probably were some in there before, but they're not looking too healthy right now.
Yeah. So that system was decommissioned, both due to a leak during servicing, and then also, like I had mentioned, it doesn't do too well in the extreme heat. And the reason is that the water is, for this specific structure, very, very thin. That's the whole idea. Very little energy is required when you're growing plants hydroponically. Essentially, what you need to do is have the roots wet enough that they don't dry out and aired out enough that they can breathe. Because even though we all learn in science class that oxygen is produced as a net byproduct of photosynthesis in the leaves, oxygen is actually consumed in the roots of plants. So if you have a plant and its roots are completely submerged in water, then the only oxygen that those roots can breathe is what's already dissolved in the water. And then as water temperature increases, the dissolved oxygen capacity of the water goes down. So this technique right here, what we have is water coming up from a pump. It goes through what's called a swirl filter, and that actually settles out the majority of the non-dissolvable solids that are in the water, mainly fish poop.
And that's a good point for me to interject one thing, and
uh-huh.
we'll get back to that process.
Yeah, no
which
problem.
Is many people just think of plants, especially vegetables, as growing in the soil. And if you don't have soil, then you can't grow anything. But of course, there is no soil in this. It's basically nutrients and water and air. Correct?
Yes, exactly. And so soilless gardening is also known as hydroponic gardening. And traditionally, it's done with a petrochemically derived nutrient solution. So you get some chemicals, you mix them together, you put it in the water, you put your plant in it, and you oxygenate the water enough that you can grow healthy roots. And voila, you've got a non-soil-based gardening approach. This system is organic, so it doesn't actually use any petrochemical fertilizers. There's also an organic form of hydroponics, but this is one that's happening where the fertilizer that the plants are absorbing is being produced in situ. So we have 40 fish in the this tank. It's about 9.
What kind of fish?
These are largemouth bass. This tank is about 6 feet wide, about 5 feet deep, holds about 900 gallons. The fish are, at this point, 2.5 years old, and they are...
Really, really bored.
Yeah, they've been sitting in the same tank for a long time. And that's one of the controversial aspects of aquaponics, especially amongst, the sort of hippie, crunchy, granola, futurist-type thinking people, is that it's very not vegan.
You mean people with morals?
Yeah, basically. But it's not vegan. And I'm a strong proponent of animal husbandry. I think that it can be done in a way that is not super torturous to animals. And I think that our selection of those animals and the way we treat them has to be considered on the basis of humanity and ethics. And so fish, in my opinion, pretty dumb. And they basically just sit around in a tank, and as long as I make sure the tank is clean and give them food and make sure that the temperature is regulated and make sure they have enough oxygen, then they're basically going to be groovy. So I've had these fish in here for a long time. A couple have died seemingly randomly. Like, one will die every 3 or 4 months. And I think that's pretty par for the course as far as aquaculture or the farming of fish is concerned. But these fish, I feed them a pellet mix, and then that food goes directly into waste products. And those waste products are in two forms. One, liquid soluble form, and that's mostly ammonia. And that comes out of the gills of the fish and also comes from the breakdown of their poop, the solids. But the solids will actually clog up the system. So I have a small tank. It's about 30 gallons, and I swirl the water in such a way that the slightly denser fish poop will actually separate from centrifugal force. And then the water then goes into four what are called IBC totes. And IBC stands for intermediate bulk container, and they're basically polyethylene-lined galvanized steel structures.
So let's interject at that point. If you're referring to what I think that you're referring to, they are essentially overgrown with all sorts of plant life right now, much of which looks very harvestable. There's either a squash or a cucumber type of plant, and maybe some kale.
That's actually cantaloupe. And
lots
of kale. And we've got, I think, four varieties of peppers. I've got ground cherries, which are like basically a sweet tomatillo. Some spicy Asian greens that I'm letting go to seed. And then collard greens and eggplants, and I think I'm forgetting something else. But this has been a very low maintenance system. Just four of these totes that are about 4 feet by 4 feet, and they are full of stones. And so that's where the real secret lies with aquaponics. You need to have a bacterial culture that spreads itself out over a large amount of surface area. And then that culture needs to be essentially given both water and oxygen, just like the roots. And what that culture will do is it will digest the ammonia first into nitrite and then into nitrate. So this happens in ponds and estuaries and all types of ecosystems already, but this is a very crude model of an ecosystem where I'm essentially introducing two inputs. I have a pump that I'm running all the time. It's about 40 watts, so the equivalent of a low wattage light bulb just on all the time. And then I'm introducing pellet food. And that pellet food is mostly made from trawled fish, bycatch, stuff that people aren't wanting to eat, but is caught up in the incredibly unsustainable sea farming that we're doing of our oceans for fish. But it's a byproduct that is reasonably cheap and easy to store and ship all over the U.S. So one of the things that I'm interested in doing for aquaponics is to use it as a conversational piece, as well as a food production space within this community garden, as well as a potential laboratory to imagine what we could be doing with this type of technology on a larger scale. So I'm really interested in urban farming and ecology. One of the biggest problems with urban agriculture is it tends to be extremely high intensity and high density. And so that leads to soil depletion, which then requires either artificial fertilizers to be put into the soil, which isn't necessarily organic, or the harvesting of healthy soils from outside of a city to be brought into a city so that people could hypothetically not need to rely on the land outside of the city. So it's a little bit counterintuitive. But what's cool about aquaponics is that if you are continuously putting in this food for the fish, you can have a continuous extraction of vegetables without depleting anything, because there aren't soils that are living. It's a living water bacterial colony fish ecosystem. And so it's all about balance, and it's a little tricky, but not too bad. I don't do a lot of monitoring or adjustment to the water.
We're close to the end of our time here, but why don't we talk about one thing? There are all sorts of different ailments that different plants can be subject to. Are those exaggerated or minimized or neither through aquaponics?
It's an interesting question. I've only been doing this for about 3 years on a relatively small scale, so I can't speak as a total authority on this as a method of farming, but I can tell you the problems that I've had. Any problem that you would see in terms of nitrogen or Mineral depletion of soils happens everywhere all at once. And that's a bit of a problem because everything's sharing the same liquid solution. So some attention, especially if it was the method you were relying on to eat in terms of your food production, would be needed to maintain the proper conditions of the water. And then other problems that you can see with aquaponics that you don't see with standard systems is like things like plumbing getting clogged. These beds of stones are essentially flooded and then drained continuously. And that happens through a nifty device called a bell siphon. So water is being pumped into the tanks with no break. The pump's just going all the time. But what happens is at a certain level in the tank, the water is very quickly removed from the tank through a gravity siphon as it overflows. But essentially, it's a no moving parts mechanical timer that allows the rocks to both be wetted and then aerated. And that's what allows the bacterial colonies to really grow. So you can see over here, some of these leaves are
He's pointing at one of the four tubs.
And then you can also see, because this is in a greenhouse, we don't have all of the natural predators of some types of pests. So what is happening right now, and it's sort of interesting, is that there's... the aphids are going through a bit of a die-off due to the extreme heat that is being subjected to them this week from about, 5 or 6 days of high 90s temperatures. So hopefully the plants will survive, the bacteria will survive, but the aphids will die. But other than that, you just got to wipe them off. They're not too bad.
One last curveball question, and then we're done. Certain plants have certain needs. Oftentimes it's calcium or like in beets, it can be boron. How would you introduce those into the system?
So there's a couple different methodologies that people are experimenting with. One is to hybridize soil and aquaponic systems together and essentially have an aquaponic system that goes with some staple crops that will work really well. In my case, I'm really successful with peppers. Last year, we grew a ton of delicious jalapeno peppers on the aquaponic systems with basically no downsides to it. So I'm growing a lot this year. But if you had something that needed a specific type of amenity, you could either put it in a potted plant and then hydrate it using the aquaponic water and then recirculate that water into the system. Oh, and that I didn't say one more thing. The hydroponics and aquaponics has the ability to recycle water, which is incredibly important when we consider the wide scale effect of water utilization in our farming technologies. For example, I heard some crazy statistic about almonds taking some incredibly massive amount of water to produce, a pound of almonds. Most of the water that we are currently cultivating or putting on our fields to cultivate goes directly into the groundwater, which isn't bad, but you end up having to take that water back out of the ground just to put it on, and the utilization of the water is really high intensity.
And you're subject more to the variabilities of nature and droughts and
yes.
floods.
And so in this case, if everything works really well, everything's perfectly watered every single time, and all of the water that isn't being actively used by the bacteria and the plants is returned to the system. And so it's a continuous loop where the water is basically flooding and draining these beds and hydrating the plants, and then going back and making sure the fish don't drown from not being in water.
Thank you very much, Chris Gully.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot.
Yep, so you can find the College City Growers on Facebook, or just come down to the Sanctuary for Independent Media and get involved.
That was Dave Pablo interviewing local engineer Chris Scully about the basics of using aquaponics as a means of growing food in Troy.